Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I apologize to the listeners for my delay in uploading the show. I've been having some technical difficulties with my computer, and mostly it's because I don't know how to navigate Lion on my Macintosh. And so I have erased a couple of three shows in the last couple of months, and that's why we've had some very intense technical difficulties on the background. So thank you for your patience, and I had the wonderful fortune to be able to ask Ebony if she would record the show again. So here we are again, and this will be uploaded later today. Ebony, thank you so much for being a part of our show, and I would like to introduce you to the rest of the listeners. I met Ebony a couple of weeks ago, actually now, and she came to a Master Candidate retreat that I had here in Arizona, and we hadn't met each other, but she came full of trust, and we had a wonderful week together. And during this week, I just had this urge to interview her for you because I feel her story is compelling, and it's also very exciting to think that Reiki students everywhere feel the call, and whatever that call means. And thank you, Ebony, for feeling the call to come to Arizona and also for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Phyllis, for having me again.
Right.
And I look forward to having this conversation. So.
Yeah, me too. So, Ebony, as with all my other interviews, I would love for you to just begin by sharing your Reiki story. Like, how did you find Reiki, and what led up to your searching for Reiki, actually?
Yes, I think that's really important. I think I need to just touch a little bit on my development prior.
Sure.
Prior to meeting Reiki, I went through an intense 5-year growth spurt, I guess, or, spiritual development, a shift, if you want to call it that. I was at the time working in the pharmaceutical industry and traveling as a QA auditor and traveling in Europe and making good money, and I thought I was content. And there came a time where the company had asked me to relocate.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was really significant looking back, because I had to make a decision that would impact myself and my family, my immediate family. And I chose not to. And it was a big change, because a lot of people had asked me, why did I do that? Why would you give up a job that you enjoyed and give up everything, which essentially I felt like I did. Now looking back, I decided to leave the job. I sold my home and sold most of the things along with it and moved back with my parents. And in that transition, I went into I think by doing that, I left a space open. I opened up a space, and in that space came a flood of intense awareness, which happened by resonating with a lot of things that just in a spiritual sense attracted me. So it was just reading books on, on people's journeys spiritually, or affirmations, or just gravitating to a lot of growth, spiritual growth. And within all of that, there were many people who along the way, and And I thank them for the support, because sometimes when you're going through this, you really feel you're alone. And they would provide insight and guidance. And several times I've been advised about being able to heal. And one woman in particular had come to me. She goes, "You have the ability to heal with your hands, but you're very fearful of it." And I thought to myself, okay, how can I be fearful of something I'm not conscious of?
Good question.
Yeah, so nevertheless, with that, it did pique my interest, and I began to do more research. And within that research, Reiki just hit me. And I, like many people I know or I've heard speak about this experience about what is Reiki, but you don't really know much about it, but you know it's for you.
Uh-huh.
Right. If you know it's for you. I had never had a treatment. I didn't know too much about it, and I just wanted to sign up for the first class.
Wow.
Yeah. And with that, I was able to resonate and find, luckily, a Reiki master that was able to lead me to someone close by, a Reiki master by the name of Anita Levin. And I signed up and I took my first degree class. And I felt at home. I really did. It was one of the best experiences I have ever had. And within that experience there, I had also experienced some very profound things happening with me that I couldn't really explain. Being new to Reiki, I was wondering how this related to Reiki, and it didn't seem like there were many people who experienced the experiences I had. And so with that, I just really, I enjoy the self-treatment, and I really feel it's fundamental for me.
Uh-huh.
And I felt it helped guide me to what I needed, because one thing I have to say, with this journey, Reiki doesn't give you what you want. It gives you what you need. And I think at this time, it is so important to understand that, because things may happen that you really don't expect.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's important to understand that. And I really do believe there are gifts and there's abilities that lay dormant within us that we may not recognize, and we have to open ourselves up to, and don't be fearful, don't judge it, and just let it be. And so with that, I also started looking one day, and I found your Reiki Home Project on the internet, on your website.
All right. Uh-huh.
And I started reading and looking into that, and it really interests me. And I was looking at the videos and I said, I don't know how I'm going to be a part of this or what I need to do, but just with that same feeling that when I had initially met Reiki, I said, I wanted to be a part of this in some way. I really feel it's important at this time. And after that, a couple months went by, and I had listened to a video with Rosina Wilshire, and it was called Finding Your Reiki Master. And I just found this fascinating, because I watched the video, and I watched how she explained her story and her experience. But I felt like when I watched it, I was receiving something energetically as well as her words behind it. And I sat with it, and after watching, I knew what I was supposed to do. I knew what I needed to do, and I just wasn't sure how it was going to take place. And then a month later, I sat down and I wrote a letter to you, and, you know, requesting, or if you would see me as a candidate for a master candidacy.
Uh-huh.
And that letter came through so profoundly. I don't even know if I can say I actually feel like I wrote it.
Wow.
Yeah, I really felt like I'd love to say that I'm a great writer, but it came through so fast. And I knew that I had to listen, and this needed to be done at this time. And because, you know, I'm fairly new to the Reiki community, and I really thought, okay, I'm going to write her this letter, and I don't know what the heck she's going to think when Phyllis reads this, you know? But, you know, 2 weeks later, I got your response, and it felt right. It just really felt right. And the trust that I have with following and listening has always seemed to get me through. And I always seem to get the validation after.
Okay.
Yes. So now I had the opportunity to meet you and for the Master Candidate Retreat, and it was wonderful. I thought it was so welcoming that everyone, you know, had so much experience, and I was there for the week, and not for one minute did I feel less than. And I really honor everyone who participated with me, and I really would like to thank them for, you know, making me feel welcome, including you, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Well, that was quite a journey of trust, and I'm just wondering, when you said something back a ways about having I don't know if they were unusual experiences, but they kind of caught my ear. And I can appreciate Anita Levin. She's a master that I initiated several, decades ago, actually. So she has lots of experience, but I'm just wondering, are you open to talking a bit about your experiences? I'm not quite sure what they were.
Okay. In March of last year, during a treatment, I had, I was going through, I guess the best way to explain it is my body just felt like it was completely vibrating.
Uh-huh.
My teeth, right down to my feet. And at one point, I felt like, I remember someone had come to my feet to kind of hold me down, because my arms were like in the shape of a cross, like brought up, and it just felt like an explosive surge of energy. And at one point after the treatment, one of the masters had mentioned to me that they had actually had seen sparks of light come off my body.
Wow.
And after I had a vision of where the energy actually went, and that during March of last year, as you know, there was the tsunami in Japan, and that energy, they had showed me that, or I had seen that energy had left me and basically went to Japan.
Wow.
Yes.
And you don't, I mean, I would assume that you don't really have explanation. I shouldn't even ask you, but, you know, I kind of have to, because I'm curious.
an explanation as to...
Yeah, how did that, you know, why you, you know, how did it happen? And did you get any feedback from your own body or anything afterwards about it being received or...
Yeah, all I had been shown is a vision of the energy that was sent. And the amount of energy that was sent. So it was very new for me. I mean, this was and I have never, I mean, received or felt that experience to that extent again. So I've learned to trust, and I think maybe that's a component of when you are given things or a gift, it's you have to have responsibility and trust with it. And with that, I just trust it. Sometimes there'll be an explanation, or sometimes it'll be shown for information and I will give that information. And sometimes it's just not to question. Mm-hmm. The same way as when we give treatments, we are just let it be. Don't question or try to analyze. Sometimes you have to just trust, you know? And I mean, sometimes I feel like what happens with me is on a larger scale, but the foundation is the same. The foundation is the same. So I find it interesting because at first I used to think, well, what are the other people going to think and what are the people going to say? And I used to warn people before. And as you know, I didn't say anything really to the group because I didn't know what was going to happen. For all I know, for that week, nothing could have happened. So I'm not going to assume that anything would happen. I just trust. And if it happens, and if someone is curious or they want to know, then they'll ask me. But I don't, you know, I no longer shoulder that responsibility.
Well, I think that's great. So when you were at the ranch in Arizona, what did it feel like to you when you received treatments?
It was very profound. Again, not to the extent that it happened to me in last year, but I anticipated by the guidance that I received that... what was going to happen. I didn't know to the extent, but I knew something was going to happen. I knew when I was coming that there was definitely a purpose aside from myself in regards to the land. And so that was fine. And I did, as you know, during the treatments, they were different, but I guess profound no less, because especially for someone who hasn't seen something like that. But again, I think what my journey is and my path right now is to learn to just let it be. And I really hope that anybody who is out there who might resonate with this story or might be going through something such as this to know that it's okay, and that I would really hope that they would feel comfortable talking to someone if they need to.
So for me, what is fairly common is to have what I call releases of energy. And sometimes they're personal, you know, like it's their personal energy. And other times it seems like it's I don't know if for someone else is really the right phraseology, but definitely acting as a conduit, should we say, for some other energy. So I'm wondering, when you have these releases during the hands-on treatment, do you ever feel that they are really for you personally, or do you always sense that they do? Have you always sensed so far, anyway, that they're for the earth or a part of the earth, or?
Yeah. Well, I can say for now and at this time that I'm usually given some form of guidance or a vision as to the purpose.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it gives me a little understanding as to the process.
Uh-huh.
It can feel it does feel very profound in the sense that you're connecting. You know, I described it to some of the people that I met there as when you lay your hand on someone, giving them a treatment, mm-hmm. you feel like you become one with
yes.
them to a certain extent. So imagine I'm receiving a treatment, but as I'm receiving a treatment, I am connecting with the land.
Uh-huh.
And so there, it will feel as if there will be a release on behalf of the land, and then it feels like I'm receiving energy. Sometimes it's a pattern like that where it'll feel like a release, 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 and then energy coming through, and then, or it can be release, energy coming through, release, energy coming through.
Uh-huh.
There's never any pattern all the time. Sometimes it can be random. And but that's what it feels like.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So after this week of experience as a master candidate, are you still intrigued by the possibility of being a master?
Yes.
Oh. Hmm. And do you see yourself having a certain kind of mission? I'm just wondering. It's a new question for me.
A mission.
A mission. You know, like some people, I mean, you kind of feel like a mission kind of person.
Really?
Yeah, somehow.
I think what's coming through me is the mission. I don't feel myself. I don't know if that's probably the best way to explain it. I myself really just, because a lot of these things, you know, my spiritual journey, my path, I was fighting this whole journey.
Really? It didn't sound like it.
Oh, yes. A lot of people didn't really understand, but there's this balance of, the best way I can explain it is, looks like I can't do what I want, so What can I do? And this was it. This was what was coming. But trust me when I say, I was looking to run back to my life, run back to my career and everything that felt safe. But at the same time, there was a part of me saying, this feels good, this feels right, but it's still, there was this bridge that I still had to, you know, to cross. And it was that fear that sometimes cripples people and crippled me a lot of times. But here I am, and I think I'm at a stage where, you know, you know, I threw in that towel a long time ago. And I just, you know, I say, you know, I'm here. I surrendered, and whatever you ask of me, I will do it. I trust in it that much.
Uh-huh.
So when you say mission, I feel the energy of a mission through me.
Uh-huh, interesting. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a feeling or an articulation about what that mission might be? I mean,
I think it comes in pieces. I can't say what the complete picture is, but
right.
I definitely feel that all of us collectively can do so much for this earth at this time in our own way. And I do feel it has a lot to do with this time and where we are in our consciousness of taking care of the earth and, you know, thereby taking care of ourselves. If we're conscious and we have an awareness of ourselves, then thereby we will understand our connection with the earth and how important it is to us.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, at this time.
So you feel that your Reiki treatments have a kind of dual purpose. You have a Reiki treatment for yourself, but then somehow it becomes for the earth also. Is that true?
Yeah, it feels like there's often two parts. There is something more universal about it, and then there's my connection to all that is, and then the connection of just Ebony.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's probably the best way to explain
right.
that experience.
Right. Oh, I have a question for you that I wanted to ask actually after one of your treatments. And I wondered if you felt rested and refreshed after them.
I don't feel tired. I think there was one instance where my physical body will sometimes feel raw, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But energetically, I don't feel tired.
Uh-huh.
And that's really, for someone to see the process of what I go through, they might ask that question.
Right. Well, I was wondering, because you get up, and actually, in my experience, you look, well, I don't know about rested, but you looked like you had gone through a process, come out the other end, actually for the better.
Yeah.
So that was interesting, and it was just at that time that I wanted to ask you about it, and then I thought, well, I don't know, probably I could pick a more appropriate time. I'm not sure this is it, but anyway.
Yeah, I think you know, a lot of it is explaining some of it, because people think that, you know, they feel like they need to help me. And I really feel that I chose this journey, and it's fine with me. Sometimes I have questions, or there's understanding. Some things I still need to, there's always that journey of discovery and awareness.
Right.
So, and I really believe that never stops. So there are times where, you know, you need that connection, and it's really nice to connect with someone else who may be going through the same thing. So you could kind of, you know, hear what they're going through, hear it just as, you know, anybody,
yes.
you know, so even though I was there, and perhaps the understanding with everyone wasn't there. The connection and the support was just great.
Yes.
Yeah, it was just really great. And I think it's important to have that.
So we're just going to shift the topic a little bit. I'm just wondering if you have your own vision of Reiki. What service do you think Reiki has to offer the world, for instance?
Oh, wow. I think I alluded to it earlier in a way, because I really believe Reiki gives us what we need. And I think we're at a time where we have to really stay open-minded about what that means and what that can mean to us as a community and to us as a consciousness, you know, the whole global community. And the things that we may need may not always be understood. However, I think it's to remain open and really trust what is to come. Even without the understanding, I think it's really important to feel if this resonates with you and to with your abilities to sense if this connects or if it resonates with you more than before, than just looking at something that happens through Reiki as judging it. Is that make sense?
Well, I'm kind of losing you.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe I wanted a simplistic answer like world peace or...
Sure, world peace. But you tied it into Reiki, right?
So, right, yeah. So no, I wanted...
What I'm feeling is that...
go ahead.
Yeah, we've got to remember, I think, this is what I'm feeling at this moment, is that, especially through my experience, I think there are things that are dormant within us, or things we've forgotten as human beings, gifts that we may have, and to just be open to what happens. Just trust in Reiki. And know that it's giving you what you want. Especially in my experience, for me, that's the relationship and the dance that I've had with this journey, especially not having anything to relate or connect with.
Especially not having anything to relate to or connect with. What did you mean by that?
In terms of the experiences I was going through.
Right. Well, it's really interesting. I feel, I guess you're sort of speaking of this year and our sort of what they call the end of the Mayan calendar. I'm not quite sure that that phraseology is appropriate, but to use what everybody else does, I call the end of the Mayan calendar and our own transformation of, you know, that we're in the world for, and just feeling that there is some shift happening. Even I feel it, and I'm a fairly, if you can believe it, a bit of a skeptic about all these things.
Yes.
But I don't know, somehow I've become an old fogey in some of these things. But I realize that there is some push that's happening with inside of me that is taking me places I didn't really ever think I would go.
Oh.
Does that seem, I don't know whether that's familiar. It sure surely must fit part of your situation right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this, in some way, the Reiki home has been an accumulation of, could be seen as a culmination of a lot of dreams that I've had and that the whole community has had on and off. But I see it as a much, the outside seems like that, but the inside is really different. And yeah. It's so different that 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to understand what my colleagues are talking about now.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's so on an energetic level. Yeah. And I see that the old way that I was in the world needs to be given up somehow and integrated with this new, with what I call a new way of being. So we were talking about in the Master Candidate my cosmology of Reiki, which has these two ways of being in the world, the relative world and the absolute, and the absolute being oneness and spirit and limitless and so on, and the relative world being of relationship and comparison and oftentimes loneliness and aloneness. And that Reiki gives us the possibility to integrate these two worlds, which I think is our purpose for being on the earth. And I'm just seeing for myself that the projects that I'm working on and the workshops that I do really lead me constantly to sitting in the absolute more than trying to fix the relative, because fixing the relative is it's not a waste of energy. It's just and it's not that it's unfixable. It's just how it is. And there's something about that that creates a kind of resistance that pushes people to activate to an activation place. And out of that creates this, out of that is creation. So I feel like we're creating something, but we don't really know what we're creating. And that feels really odd.
Yeah.
To be so in the unknown that you're in the creation process, but you don't know what the end product is.
Yes.
And that is against everything that I learned in college. So you're kind of my unknown angel person now, right now. You know, I feel like you've come from the unknown. You've just trusted and you've made your way, you know, out to Arizona to all these strangers, totally in trust. I mean, I just find that to be amazing. And, you know, have ended up alive.
Well, yeah. No, honestly, I hope that by, you know, telling this story, it kind of can give someone hope, because without knowing what the end result may be, and just trusting that every step is building to something greater. It will reveal itself in the way that it needs to for us. When the ego or we as think about what is, I think it just really messes everything up. It's having that faith and enjoying whatever it is that you do. It creates a momentum and a feeling and a will of trust that just keeps you going, even if you're doing it blindly.
I see.
Yeah.
But there is always this fear, and maybe this is what I need to let go of, that I'm just being too airy-fairy and that I'm trusting. But mm-hmm. I always felt like along with trust, you really had to put your oar in the water. I mean, you can't just say, oh, I trust in,
yes,
you know, in the universe to support me and then, you know, lay back and do nothing. Or is that my middle class background showing up?
I think it's like, I call it why I like to tell my stories because I've come from a deep relative world background.
A deep relative world background. What does that mean?
If that makes sense.
No.
In the relative world and then just shifting and going into complete isolation and then shifting out of that and bringing what I know and sharing that.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that you can trust in that, even with all of that, with not being able to understand everything, I trusted enough that I knew it was something priceless and I could take with me uh-huh. the rest of my life.
Uh-huh.
And once you reach that plateau, I call it, you know, building your spiritual muscle.
Oh.
Because, you know, it's just like anything. You've got to work at it. It takes a little bit of discipline.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll reach a point where you get comfortable in it. But you can't just step back and think it's just everything's going to happen for you. You've got to keep the momentum up until you uh-huh. really feel that confidence and within yourself.
Uh-huh.
And that's different for everybody, you know.
Uh-huh.
You have to know that within yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah, fascinating. Well, it's an interesting road, I have to say. coming from one who likes to know.
Yes.
And, yeah, that's good. So, yeah,
Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering if I really understand your worldview yet.
Okay.
So what do you think Reiki's bringing us in this new age? I mean, excuse me, I don't want to use those words. What do you think Reiki's bringing us in this age of change and transformation that we're going through right now?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it is to come, meaning that a lot of it is unknown. Some of it will be shown to us, and when it is shown, I just believe that you should trust in it again.
Uh-huh.
To know that, I know I said this probably 3 times already, but to really understand that Reiki gives you what you need. And I know it's not the answer you probably want, but it's trusting. I really believe the connection is in trusting in the unknown. And it's that trust that gives you your answer. That's the dynamics, I believe, for me. If you just want an answer, then you've got to ask yourself why, without doing the inner work that
uh-huh.
it takes to get there.
Uh-huh.
You can't cheat your way around this. I think we all have to really go in and connect and treat ourselves and treat others.
Uh-huh.
'Cause it is in that moment where we surrender and we really trust in Reiki and receiving the treatments is when that space for opening up and receiving that connection
uh-huh.
and getting the answers that you need lies.
Uh-huh.
for each of us in our own way, because what you may be asking me and the answer that you may want will come for you in the way in which you need it.
Uh-huh.
It is for you. And so the way that I may receive my answer might be completely different or mm-hmm. come from a different perspective at this moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the best way I can answer it. I wish I had the answer myself.
Well, it sounds good. And it's actually been interesting to just see how things have happened through this process in the last year or two. People and situations have just shown up in such a miraculous way. It's been really wonderful, and it's been an amazing process to watch it happen. So I just think about the story of Reiki and this part of the story where when I heard this from my grandmother, and the first few times I heard the story, I kind of rolled my eyeballs because I just thought, is she nuts or what? And I've realized only in the last year what a profound lesson this was. And that is that, you know, in the beginning of the story, when Mikawasui goes up to the mountain and he goes into a trance and has his visions and so on, and then he comes down the mountain. And as he's coming down the mountain, there's a story is that he tripped and hurt his toe, and he grabbed it, and in a few moments the pain was gone and the bleeding had stopped, and he was able to walk on without any hindrance. And then he says, first miracle. And then the next thing is that he meets this young woman who has a toothache and who's serving him his food, and he goes and he, you know, relieves her pain, and he goes, second miracle. And then the third miracle is that he eats his food that is not meant to be food that you would break your fast with for 21 days, but something that people would eat ordinarily for breakfast. And he goes, third miracle. And I, you know, in the beginning, I just thought, what do you mean they're miracles? I mean, it's not a big deal somehow. You know, it's not like raising people from the dead, for instance. And then I realized in the last few years in telling the story that this is the level of miracle that we often overlook. And I just see that my life is full of miracle and full of the unknown. And if I can hold that space, that miracles are these everyday occurrences, and that our lives are full of miracles, like the path that brought you to the Master Candidate Intensive and the people who were there and the synergy that happened between all of you and, you know, the synergy that's happening through and because of the Reiki home and so on. All of this feels like little miracles that are happening, and it happens out of the unknown, like nobody's planned it.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, it makes me feel much happier to be alive.
Yes.
Yeah, than before. And I really appreciate your coming into my life at this time, and you're bringing this space of the unknown so trusting.
Oh, thank you, Phyllis. I feel the same way about you and everybody that was there. I really thank you for having me in that space and being a part of that week. It really meant a lot to me.
You're welcome. Well, this is the end of our show, and for you listeners, I just want you to pay attention to our miraculous life that we live because we practice Reiki. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.